Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is study number 43 in the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis chapter 45. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 45 verse 1. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Judah and his brothers are waiting for an answer, and they never expected the one that they got, believe me. Verse 2. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. So that they wouldn't hear what was going on, Joseph sent the Egyptians away. Well, that didn't do any good. He was crying so loud that they heard him anyway. Verse 3, then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Did you ever see a dog after he knew he was caught doing something wrong? Tail between the legs, ears are kind of lying flat, head is bowed down low. Sons of Jacob looked like 10 of those kinds of dogs right here. Verse 4, and Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." He says, "I'm Joseph." And just so they don't think that it's some other Joseph, he adds, "Your brother, you know, the one you sold as a slave." Verse 5, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Every sinner ought to be grieved and angry with themselves over their sin. But after they repent and confess, there needs to be comfort, knowing that God will bring good even out of that evil. And no, it does not make their sin okay, and they certainly do not deserve a thank you for the something good that God brings out of it. However, God does not want repenting, sorrowful sinners to grieve to the point of despair. That's just not God's will. Verse 6. "For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing, no harvest, nor harvesting." And so the famine they had experienced thus far was just in the beginning stages. Joseph wasn't there to punish them. He was there to rescue them. 7. "And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Joseph understood that the main reason he was promoted to the number 2 person in the land of Egypt wasn't to save the entire nation of Egypt. The big reason for his promotion was to preserve the little tiny family of Jacob. See, by protecting the line of the Savior, God was actually caring for all people. If they don't survive, everyone everywhere goes to hell because the Savior isn't born. 8. "So now, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Joseph isn't living in the land of make-believe. He knows his brothers sent him there, but he chooses to dwell on God's sovereignty instead of their sin. 9. "Hurry and go up to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry.'" And I can hear the excitement in his voice. He knows he will soon see his father. Not only that, he will provide for him and for his brothers. 10. "You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have." Goshen, also known as the land of Ramses, was about 900 square miles. It was the best pasture land in Egypt, which will work out great, since Joseph's family are all shepherds. 11. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine." Jesus says we are to love our enemies and do good to those who hate us. Joseph will provide for his brothers, the ones who were so bad to him. You know, he could have sent for his dad. He could have said, "I will care for Benjamin and my father while you ten rot in prison or in the salt mines." But instead, Joseph repays their evil with good. 12. "And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, see that it is my mouth that speaks to you." In other words, take a mental snapshot of this moment, because it isn't a dream. I'm really Joseph. 13. "So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here." They have to tell their father all about Joseph. And their father will know that all his suspicions about them being responsible for Joseph's disappearance were right on target. And so they must confess to their father that they are responsible for him not enjoying his son Joseph for the last 22 years. 14. "Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." And maybe for the first time ever, all the sons of Jacob are friends. Verse 16. "Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, 'Joseph's brothers have come.' So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well." Pharaoh likes Joseph, you know, and maybe he's thinking that his 11 brothers are just like him. Well, you can't have too many good guys like Joseph around. And so Pharaoh is pleased. Absolutely. Good to have him here. 17. "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Say to your brothers, do this. Load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours." Boy, that's a dream move. No packing, no moving trucks. Pharaoh says, "Tell your family to come as they are. You know, wear the robe that you have on your back, because everything else you need is going to be here for you when you arrive." 21. "Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. And he gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things: 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, 'See that you do not become troubled along the way.'" In other words, don't argue on the way home. Knowing these men as he did, Joseph figures they will probably quarrel over who is most to blame for what they did to him. Who will take the most blame when they confess what they did to their father? Well, they were all guilty, and they were all forgiven, and now they need to be humble toward each other. Verse 25. "Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, 'Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt.' And Jacob's heart stood still, because he did not believe them." Jacob had long ago given up on Joseph. He was concerned about Simeon and Benjamin. So when he hears that Joseph is alive, it knocks the wind right out of him. 27. "But when they told him all the words which Joseph said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived." Then Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive, I will go and see him before I die." The fact that Joseph was ruler seemed to go right over Jacob's head. It was enough that his son was alive and that he would soon see him. To those who really care about you, what you are is not as important as the fact that you are. Chapter 46. We'll just get into it a little bit here. Verse 1. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. It was time to talk to God. God didn't want his grandfather Abraham to go down to Egypt during a famine, or his father Isaac to go there either. Abraham went anyway and got into some big trouble. And Jacob wants to see Joseph very bad, but not if it means disobeying God. And so he stops and spends time with God. Verse 2, then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night. It said, "Jacob, Jacob," and he said, "Here I am." God talks to Jacob. If we talk to God the way we should, he will talk to us. Verse 3, so he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there." And that is the word that Jacob wanted to hear. "It is my will for you to go to Egypt. It is my will for you to see Joseph." God was leading Jacob through the circumstances of his life. Most of the time, God leads through the circumstances that he allows into our lives. He leads, in other words, by his providence. 4. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Don't overlook the little things that God says, because they are packed with power. God says, "I will bring you back here." And that's what happened. They will become slaves in Egypt, and it will be the power of Almighty God that gets them out of that slavery and gets them back home. Verse 5. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And you can tell that Jacob is getting old, as his sons put their father and their families in the carts. The sons are running this operation. Verse 6. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt, Jacob and all his descendants with him. They did not have to bring their possessions, but they did anyway. I guess they were the type who hated to part with things. Verse 7. His sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. And verses 8 through 25 names all these people. Let's skip all the way down to verse 26. It says, all the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were 2 persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. 70 members of Jacob's family are in Egypt. 200 and some years later, about 215 years later, there will be about 2 million descendants of Jacob leaving Egypt. God used Egypt to grow Jacob's family into the nation Israel. We'll pick up our study right here next time. Until then, so long, everyone.